We begin our series of candidate forums today on the Ideas Network prior to the August recall elections, where six Republican state senators and two Democratic state senators face a potential recall from office. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Monday, July the 25th. Today we feature the second Senate district, where the incumbent Republican State Senator Rob Coles faces a challenge from Democrat Nancy Nussbaum. Nancy Nussbaum agreed to appear and will join us in this half hour. Rob Coles declined our invitation to participate. If you have a question for Nancy Nussbaum, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Nancy Nussbaum is the former Brown County executive, former mayor of the city of De Pere, and she is the Democratic candidate in the District 2 state Senate recall race. And she joins us from our studios in Green Bay. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks very much for being with us. Why should voters in the second Senate district replace Senator Coles with you?
Well, it starts with a process that began back in the cold days of winter when 26,000 people in the second Senate district signed their names to recall petitions. That was about 10,000 more than was needed, a very large margin over the required number of signatures. And it was because people were genuinely concerned that the very special things that make Wisconsin a wonderful place to live were being dismantled systematically by Scott Walker and with the assistance of Rob Coles. And as these people asked for the opportunity through the petitioning process to have their voice be heard, I was becoming more concerned each day that the Wisconsin I once knew was disappearing through the different moves that the governor was making. And I just felt that it was time to give those 26,000 people the opportunity to exercise the voice they had asked for and entered the race because we just need to bring some balance back to Madison and start talking about these things in a little bit more depth before we do sweeping reforms with no discussion in middle of the night votes.
Yeah. What is it that Rob Coles voted for that is leading toward the dismantling of Wisconsin?
Well, I think it started very early. It was probably an early arbiter of what was to come. One of the very first things that happened was there was a discussion about a company locating in this area in an area that was wetlands. And Scott Walker was ready to just change the definition of wetlands so that it could eliminate a wetland and put a big company there. Rob Coles was fine with that. But the company, which is a very its services hunters and sportsmen, and it said it wanted no part of such a deal and walked away. And I think that was a very good indicator early on that this governor, and with no objection from Rob Coles, was about to start dismantling 50 years of progress, environmental progress. He then turned to public employees. He turned to seniors. He started attempting to balance the state budget on the backs of the disabled and the frail people who could least afford to pay. At the same time, he actively went out and rewarded people who had given him big campaign contributions by giving them tax breaks. And corporations big tax breaks. And so it just was a basic sense of fairness among the people in the second district that, you know, they worked hard all their lives. It might be tough times. We might need to tighten our belts. And people are willing to make sacrifices when times are hard, but not when they see that their sacrifices are being balanced off by totally unnecessary rewards to cronies of the governor.
Yeah. Some say that recall should only happen if there's just some egregious offense by the incumbent legislator. Isn't Senator Coles just voting straight Republican Party lines? And therefore, if Republicans won the majority last election, isn't he just doing his job?
Well, the recall process in Wisconsin has a very high threshold. It's not something that is done willfully. You don't see it here. I don't know how many times, maybe two times in the last 100 years has that happened. And I, interestingly enough, I can speak to this from personal experience. There was a group of people who didn't like a decision I made and actually filed to circulate petitions to recall me. The threshold at that time that they needed to meet was they needed 18,900 plus signatures, and they were able to collect 96 signatures. That was a very clear statement from the people I represented that they were fine with what I was doing. And I think there should be a process in place that allows people, when they see one piece of Wisconsin life after another being systematically dismantled, schools, the entire funding mechanism for schools, taking money out of the Green Bay area and putting it into private schools in the Milwaukee area, these things will have a very, very long detrimental effects on the lives of the children we're sending to school here in Green Bay. So it could be argued, I suppose, that these weren't serious, but I think in the eyes of 26,000 people who live here, they exercised a very legitimate, constitutionally granted process to say, this is beyond the pale of what we will accept from our senator and from our governor.
What did last week's election results, which featured Democratic State Senator Dave Hansen of Green Bay retaining his seat in a recall challenge, what did that say to you?
Well, it said to me that Dave Hansen is a very respected senator here. He's a real common guy who works hard and understands the issues and gets along well with everybody. And it was a real struggle even to get those names on those petitions. They had to do some real fancy footwork just to get people to sign them. And I think the vote, when people actually got the chance to have a voice, they spoke loud and clear that they admire Dave and they're happy to be represented by him, and that they want him to keep doing that job. And it has a good effect for the rest of us, I think, that have sided against some of the egregious things that have been happening in Wisconsin. I think we'll see it that reaffirmed in some of the upcoming races.
We have callers lining up, so let me go to the phones. Anne in Appleton is with us first. Hello, Anne.
Well, yes, good morning, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. Earlier in the broadcast, it was obvious I didn't understand enough about this redistricting plan that the Republican leadership has recently passed. Actually, the entire state legislature, but dominated by Republicans. And I think I heard that the gentleman that was explaining this, that Nancy would no longer live in the second Senate district in 2012 if she won on August 9th. So, Nancy, my question for you is it really true that the Republican plan moved you out of the second Senate district?
Well, Ann, I had to see it for myself. When I first heard it, I couldn't believe it. But yes, indeed, I am three houses outside of the Senate district that I've lived in for 35 years. And I don't think that was accidental. When a reporter asked me how I felt about it, I said that I thought it was the highest compliment anyone could pay me. They clearly take this race so seriously. They felt they needed to buy an insurance policy, and the insurance policy was to move me out of the district I've been living in most of my life.
Yeah. Aside from moving you out of the second Senate district, your general response or reaction to the plan total?
Well, I was a mayor, and I participated in redistricting process at the lowest level, at the city level. And then 10 years later, I was a county executive and participated again in redistricting at the county level. And there's a good reason why there are a number of steps that involve all local levels of government. And what this process did was throw that all in the garbage and close the door and take some high-priced lawyers into a room and draw boundaries where they said, the devil take the difference. We don't care what anybody else thinks. They had a cursory public hearing one simply to accommodate that requirement. But it was all a kangaroo court process that ended up disregarding what the local impact was completely. It will result in higher costs for those communities that had already drawn their district maps. I've heard a number of communities talk about the cost of having to add additional polling places and create additional wards, which this forces them to do. And in my own community of De Pere, it carved my city up. It carved us up and gave us two senators instead of one. So with either one, we are not a significant proportion of his district. Therefore, it makes your voice much weaker down in the state legislature. I mean, it was just a process that did a lot of injustice.
So should the legislature turn over this job of redrawing the legislative and congressional district boundaries to some sort of nonpartisan commission?
I think that would be ideal. I mean, the word gerrymandering has been around. This isn't the first time it's ever happened. It's probably the absolute most blatant and egregious use of the gerrymandering. But it's always been here, and it can only be eliminated if you make this a nonpartisan process that really just looks at population and interest groups and allows a process that gives us competitive voting districts for representation.
We are talking with Nancy Nussbaum. She is a former Brown County executive, former mayor of De Pere. She is the Democratic candidate in the District 2 state Senate race coming up on August the 9th. The recall election that finds six Republican state senators facing a potential recall. Nancy Nussbaum is challenging the incumbent Republican state senator Robert Coles of the Green Bay area. Robert Coles declined our invitation to participate in one of these forums. We do have an open line for you now, though, if you have a question for challenger Nancy Nussbaum, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Nancy Nussbaum, who is a Democratic candidate for state Senate in the 2nd state Senate district in Wisconsin. She is challenging the incumbent Robert Coles in the August 9th recall election. All this week during this hour, we will feature candidates running in the August recall elections during the mornings in the 7 o'clock hour and during the afternoons in Ben Marin's 4 o'clock hour. There is a complete schedule on our website and on wisconsinvote.org and on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Tomorrow, by the way, we will be featuring Democratic candidate Shelley Moore, who is challenging State Senator Sheila Harsdorf. Sheila Harsdorf also declined our invitation to appear. Our next caller for Nancy Nussbaum is Maureen in De Pere. Hello, Maureen. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
And good morning, Nancy. I wish you would talk about a little bit, when you were mayor, did you have any tough decisions to make in De Pere? And what was your record on taxes? I know I was opposed to the widening of Highway 57, and we had a lot of meetings on it, but eventually I think there were some compromises for things like the replacement trees, and I'm sort of glad it went through. But did you have any other tough decisions you had to make? And maybe people would be interested in that as mayor.
Well, thanks, Maureen. That I will always cite that widening of Broadway, which is the main thoroughfare through our historic district. For people who don't know the community, is well, is the main highway, Highway 57, and it definitely needed to be rebuilt. When you rebuild a highway, you build it for 50 to 75 years. You don't build it for today. And I made the mistake at one point of looking at the petitions that people had turned in to oppose it, and I saw the people who sit next to me in church on Sunday morning, and I saw family members who had signed opposing it, and it felt very personal because I knew that I had to take the long-range vision, and I knew that the Department of Transportation was certainly willing to work with our community to make it better as a result of the widening, like you said, with the trees. But people, maybe because people don't always trust government, I don't know what it was, they just couldn't believe that that would really turn out the way we told them it would. It has, and it feels like a great satisfaction now, but that was definitely the toughest days I ever had in any public decision. On the other hand, when I came into De Pere, we had the highest taxes in Brown County. We were at our debt limit. We could not borrow a penny. If a water tower fell down, we'd have been in trouble. And it was great satisfaction that 7 years later, when I left, I had reduced our debt by 40% and our tax rate by 29%. And we were thriving. Our downtown, which formerly had been 85% vacant, was 90% occupied, and we had created 1,800 new jobs. And it's a record I'm really proud of, and it didn't happen because of me particularly. It happened because a whole community pulled together and sort of found that if we set a goal and worked toward it, we could do some pretty wonderful things, and we did.
You know, as a former mayor of the city of De Pere and a Brown County executive for that matter, were you calling for the tools that Governor Walker says he gave local officials with the restrictions of on collective bargaining? He said these are tools that you needed to balance the budget locally.
Well, I did a lot of work with governors through the years. I was on the board and was about to become vice president of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities at the time I left to run for county executive. And it was our job to communicate to our legislators and to the governor what we needed in order to be more effective in running and our local governments and solving local issues. And quite frankly, we had a very solid labor environment without strife. We settled things very peacefully through very sincere, good faith negotiation. And that was not the problem that we were having with the state or with doing the job of policing the streets and plowing the streets and cleaning our wastewater. The problems that we were having was that the state was constantly cutting back on shared revenue that they had initially collected with the intent of sending it to local government, and then they were hijacking it and using it for state purposes because state spending was out of control. These were the tools that we needed. We needed help to implement the recycling program, for example, and the promises that were made to us when these programs were begun were frequently forgotten very quickly after we started. So we had a lot of things we needed to talk to state government about, but requesting the specific tools that Scott Walker seems to think are such a gift. I think in many ways he's done the same thing that we've seen in a pattern before, only in a more serious manner, in that he's said he's given locals the tools that they need while he's just once again cut funding in several different ways to tie the hands of local government. I talk to local government officials all the time. They're very, very worried about how they are going to preserve just basic services like police and fire.
Ken in De Pere emails, are you concerned over the amount of influence the labor unions have on policy and parties in our state?
I'm not concerned because I think everybody should have influence in policy. It's only when it gets to be disproportionate that it's inappropriate. In this district, you are seeing literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars pouring into these campaigns with advertisements that you don't know who's funding them. You don't know who's paying, whose money has been collected. And I think these kinds of things are things that I am very concerned about. I'm a big campaign finance reform person, so these things trouble me a great deal. But everyone who lives in a district and cares about its future should have an opportunity to have a voice. Every single person, whether that person is a senior confined to their home and struggling to stay there, or whether it's a person who gets up and goes to work and punches a time clock. And I think that we should be welcoming all those people that want a voice into the process.
Tim in Boscobel. Go ahead, Tim.
I'm a Republican who's going to be changing my voting practice to deal with some of the issues here that are happening. And my concern with being lied to so much by all the Republicans that have been placed in office, they were placed in office because of a conservative groundswell of people voting, even though they misrepresented what they were going to do. By voting Democrat, am I going to be looking at the Democratic process thinking that we now wish to swing back liberal, or are we going to somehow land in between and understand that?
I get it. I get it. And I'm sorry, we have less than a minute, Nancy Nussbaum, for your response.
I think you've hit on what's really important and what's been going wrong. And I'm not a person who's very comfortable with labels ever. Perhaps it's why I liked working at the local level, where we are nonpartisan and everybody gets together and just solves a problem. I hope that what you're predicting will actually be the case, that we can come and find a middle where people can sit down and restore civility and begin working together. We've got very big problems in this state. And I'll tell you what, I don't think all of this bickering and all of this partisanship and the governor hammering down on senators to force them to vote against their conscience is doing anything to solve our problems. So our senator's been there 29 years, and in 29 years, we've seen the problems only grow. I think it's time for some fresh faces, and it's time for some people who will throw aside labels and say, let's become problem solvers.
Thank you so much for being with us. Nancy Nussbaum, former Brown County executive, former mayor of De Pere. She is the Democratic candidate in the District 2 State Senate race, the recall scheduled on August the 9th. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.